This is your go-to podcast dedicated to getting the exclusive scoop from the industry's top influencers that are helping to shape the cybersecurity, audit, and IT governance landscape. Tune in as we dig deep and learn their motivators, explore their industry journey, and investigate their ideas and predictions on what the future holds. This is Isoca's Page 2 Podcast.
You're listening to the Isoca Podcast. I'm your host for this episode, Safia Kazi, and I'm excited today to be joined by Steve Ross. He's the Information Security Matters columnist for the Isoca Journal, and his most recent article is called Advanced Security for Secret Information. Thanks for joining us today, Steve.
Oh, pleasure.
So just to get everybody kind of on the same page at the beginning, your article distinguishes between secrets and other information. So what is it that makes a secret different from, say, personal information?
Well, in fact, personal information may indeed be secret. One of the articles relevant to the subject of secrecy, I'm sure there's a list of spies at the CIA with all their names and home numbers and social security numbers so they can get paid. I don't think the privacy implications of disclosure are as significant as the secrecy implications. There is information that has extreme importance and for which the disclosure of that information would have serious ramifications, not necessarily, but not excluding regulatory penalties because the information contained personal information. But it's things all the way from, as I say, the CIA and KGB and whatever they call themselves these days, down to some things that are fairly more commonplace, such as, well, I always use the example of the CEO's Christmas card list. Does he really or she really want to know, want the world to know who is and isn't getting a Christmas card from the CEO? Or a much more likely scenario, particularly for a public company, is that there are financial reporting requirements on usually a quarterly and annual basis. If that information were released in advance, or somebody were able to get their hands on it in advance, particularly if that information is going to move the market, there's all kinds of opportunities for insider trading and illegal trading. So those are just some examples, but I think that almost every organization of any serious magnitude has information that is considered to be secret, not necessarily secret for all times, but secret for a period of time in which it has to have higher than normal levels of information security.
So in your article, how do you define advanced security and what exactly is its role when it comes to protecting secrets?
Well, as I say, I think you need to go back and deal with that whole concept of secrecy and understand that there is certain information for which access control, user ID and password, even cyber controls are probably insufficient because the information has so much importance. The classic example is Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola makes a very big deal out of the fact that it's got a quote, unquote, secret formula for making their product. I don't know that anybody would not drink a Coke if formula were known, but they consider it part of their culture. It's part of their marketing. It's part of the very way that they go into the marketplace. And they consider it to be so secret that they publish pictures of this enormous vault that they have. You can actually tour it in Atlanta, not inside the vault, but you can see the door. And they know that there's a need not only to have user ID and password for an automated version of that, which must exist somewhere. It's going to have to drive all the machines that make the syrup. But they also need to have a limited distribution, and they need to track every one of those people who are on the distribution list when they have access to the information. As I say, they need a great big vault with great big guards and great big guns to keep it secure. That's well beyond what we would consider in the normal scheme of things, information security. And what I have seen primarily, but not exclusively, beginning in the pandemic is heightened interest in secrets of this sort. Now, there's always been industrial espionage. There's always been in intellectual property that's, you know, of value to somebody else who wasn't supposed to have it. But what has changed in what I read in the press and what I see from colleagues in the profession is that now we have major state actors that are going after not only military secrets and diplomatic secrets, which is not news, but going after private industry, going after formulas. I think the most well publicized was countries going after other countries' vaccine research for COVID, of course. I think it may have begun there. I don't think it's going to stop there. And I see just heightened interest on the part of what we glowingly call threat actors, and I prefer to call the bad guys, in keeping that information more secure than, as I say, even the regular information that we try to protect, including, as I say, private information. Not trying to downplay that. I'm very much a privacy advocate, and I do have my CDPSE, and I intend to be active in that marketplace for quite some time. But there is something over and above. And perhaps not for this conversation, but for another, I think that the job of looking after secrets does fall well within the ambit of the people who are already looking after privacy.
And so what are some strategies for organizations to use to determine what secret information they have and then determine which controls, you know, above and beyond the usual controls they should implement?
Well, this is a particularly challenging aspect of it, trying to figure out what you have that's secret. I think a good starting place would probably be with the Office of General Counsel, you know, the legal department, who has some idea of what information there is that falls within in that area of secrecy. But I think that there's a great deal of it that is going to require a certain amount of thinking outside the box. And again, I think that's where the privacy people have a leading edge, because they're already dealing with information that requires protection over and above the usual, as I say, access controls and even encryption. It's just a matter of saying, what do we have that we should not release? Of course, it's going to depend on the industry. I think probably the military and the intelligence communities have already done this work, and they know it. I think for the most part, they consider everything that they have to be in that category. But industrial companies have formulas. Financial companies have results. And even companies that don't seem to have anything that falls into that those kind of heightened categories, they probably have business strategies that they don't want their competitors to see. They probably have correspondence that would be harmful if it were released. I don't have a single answer. Once you've made up your mind where the secrets are, then it becomes a much more challenging matter to say, what do we do about it? At the most, we can go to the vaults and armed guards. At one level, it makes sense just to take the data off the internet, you know, put an air gap around that data so that nobody can get it without having physical access. At another level, I think it really calls for heightened monitoring of not only invalid attempts to get to the data, which we do that all the time in information security. That's not, you know, that's not advanced security. But you want to track the people who do have authorized access. When did they get the information? What did they do with it? When did their access end? Where did they put the data back if it's something physical? Questions of that nature, but it's a significantly different approach to monitoring to say we don't want to just trace the invalid attempts, which should be few when you've got armed guards in a big vault, but trace the people who do have authorized access and what they're doing with it. Ultimately, we're getting beyond the range of perhaps what we would usually call security and get into the range of what we call trust. And this has always been a challenge. There have always been people within organizations who have extraordinary access capabilities who have sometimes violated that trust. Just recently, I'm personally aware of it because I was an account holder. There's a bank in Canada called Caisse Desjardins, and one of the officers there disclosed millions of account records. And, you know, he was authorized to have the access, but he should never have disclosed it.
So on that note of trust, in your article, you write that advanced security calls for oversight, not only of protection, but also of trust. Yes. Can you just explain the growing role of trust when it comes to protecting secrets and valuable information?
I don't think it's a growing role. I think it's always been there. There's been certain types of information that have very limited distribution. I can remember myself when I worked for a large bank being in the distribution channel where I had a copy of a report that was a numbered report and every one of them was tracked and I had to give it back when I was finished reading it. So that's, and this is a long time ago, I hate to admit. But I do think that, as I said, the condition of secrecy hasn't changed. It's always been there. There's always been secrets that we want to keep. What has changed is the level of threat. That there are now people with much more powerful tools and a lot more money who are willing to spend some of that money and use those tools to get that information. I don't know what the ultimate story was of that banker in Canada, but somebody pays somebody enough money, they will turn over the goods.
So you did touch on this, but in what kind of industries might advanced security be especially important, and are we seeing it being used in those industries currently?
Well, as I say, the government is probably the primary area, and then those parts of the government that deal with national security have the most awareness of secrecy, perhaps over awareness to the point of paranoia. But as the old joke goes, what do you do when you find out that somebody's actually chasing the paranoid? It certainly is justified there. I think what's interesting to me is not so much the industries where it is most likely to be the case, because they are already sort of aware of this. I can remember quite a few years ago, but I was doing some security work at a company that made powdered soup mixes. And the recipes for the powdered soups were their key intellectual property. And the way in which they use that information to make the soup lent itself to having it stolen, and it was by a trusted employee who took the recipes and went off and started his own soup company. So it's not just the big banks, it's not just the CIA and MI6, it's all kinds of companies that, if you sit back and say, what kind of secrets do you have? I mean, I work for a tiny little consulting company that I founded 12 years ago, Riskmasters. And do I have secret information? There's only 8 of us in the company. It's not a big deal. Yeah, I've got information from my clients that has to be kept, on a separate device, air-gapped, encrypted. And, even a company the size of mine has information of that sort.
So some people listening to this might say, well, we're encrypting our information, but why might encryption alone not be enough to protect secrets?
Well, again, the issue, as I said, was the heightened level of threat. For most things, I am perfectly content with AES and RSA and the other alphabet soup algorithms that are out there. I have no question that it is extremely difficult to break them to the level that the companies that have that information should be content, because the level of effort to get that information is so high that your usual criminals are not going to do that. But we're not dealing with your usual criminals. My question to you would be, is that information that might be of interest to the intelligence agencies of foreign powers, or even for your own government for that matter, but let's keep it to foreign powers. Are you really that sure that, the CIA can't get into it? Are you really that sure that, forget what the Russian equivalent is, and I never knew what the Chinese equivalent was, but you get my point. Could they break it? I don't know. Maybe they could, maybe they couldn't, but I would certainly want to put it, if it's that important, I would want to take it off the internet. I wouldn't want to be able to access it remotely. I would put it behind a big wall or a vault, and I'd have somebody with a gun standing in front, if it's that important. Now, most companies don't have that, but if you're working on a cure for cancer and you're getting close, there's going to be an awful lot of interest in getting their hands on that information before you can make money out of it.
And so if we could go back to when you were talking about working at that powdered soup company, in that instance, let's say, how could something like advanced security protect against that type of insider threat of intellectual property? What are some of the ways that advanced security would address insider threat?
What they would do is print out the recipe and literally tape it to the mixer. And then they had a room full of spices, which was the most delicious room I've ever been in. And they would pour the spices in, and they pour the mix in, and they put it together, and then they put it into envelopes and sell it. At the very least, I wouldn't have just posted the thing on the side of the mixer. I wouldn't have kept the information on the central computers that were used to run the factory. I would have made sure that it was not easy to get your hands on those recipes, and I would have had somebody from security, physical security, who was responsible for making sure that the recipe was posted and then taken down before anybody could copy it, and would keep an eye on the mixers while they were in use. I mean, those are just some ideas off the top of my head. I haven't thought about that company in more than 20 years, but it's just a good example. Nobody thinks about powdered soup.
And so some people listening to this might say, you know, this seems a little bit intrusive, but can you talk about why a higher level of intrusiveness might be required for some of the monitoring associated with advanced security?
Well, sure. I mean, it comes back to trust. If you're going to have a higher level of trust, then you are, by definition, giving permission for a heightened level of oversight. Years and years and years ago, when I first started in information security, I was dealing with a head of system software, back in the mainframe days. And I was insisting on controls, back in the days when nobody had ever heard the word controls. And she said to me, "Don't you trust me, Steve?" And I said, "Of course I trust you, but I don't want to have to trust you." And that's the difference.
And then before we wrap up, is there anything else that people should know about advanced security that we haven't touched on yet?
Well, as I say, I think advanced security is the back end of a discussion on secrets. And I think that when we start applying ourselves a little bit, I think we'll find that everybody has certain secrets. I have secrets, you have secrets. I mean, I buy my wife a birthday present, I keep it secret. Nah, that's not at all in the same level of concern. On the other hand, I don't leave her present out on the living room table. I put it in the closet and behind something so she doesn't know that it's there. Of course, she knows it's there and she can always find out if she wants to. But there's where we get into the issue of trust. So you can trivialize it. And I think for the most part, we have tended to trivialize it because the level of threat was consistent with our understanding of the business. And now with what we're seeing with foreign agencies, and I assume it's all major governments with intelligence functions, are going after that information. In starting my research on this whole thing, I started looking at, again, the issue was protection over vaccine development. And all the US papers, I read the New York Times every day, were saying the Chinese are coming after us. And then I went to the British papers. And the British papers said, no, it's the Russians who are coming after us. I don't speak Chinese, but I was able to go to the search engine Baidu, which will also bring me to English language things. And I was able to read the Chinese press, and they were saying, of course, the exact opposite, that it was the Americans coming after them. I tend to believe all of them. I think everybody's in this game. And so I think it's just a matter of raising heightened awareness, using that word heightened a lot in this conversation. And, applying certain degree of common sense, but as I'm not the first one to note that there's nothing so uncommon as common sense.
Yeah, that's it. So thank you so much for joining us today, Steve. And that's all we have time for in this episode of the podcast. But if you're interested in more information on advanced security, read the Volume 3 2021 journal column, Advanced Security for Secret Information. And if you're interested in hearing more from Steve and other industry experts, be sure to subscribe to the ISACA podcast.
Thank you for joining us today for this episode of Page to Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode. To listen to more podcasts from ISACA, please visit isaca.org/podcast. Don't forget to subscribe for upcoming episodes.